It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Yes, in the last hour, and with Samantha, I'll take her just a minute. But just let the new listeners get a gist of what I've been talking about, the man-woman relationship. That is to say, until the man-woman relationship is made holy again, not just by waving of, you know, religious instruments and prayers and things like that, but through men becoming true to himself and then loving the hell out of a woman. And that's it. Now, you might say, well, there's no hell in a woman. Of course there is. And it gets into men and drives them crazy. But men are strangely attracted to what is wrong with a woman. It's rare that a man looks for a right woman. It's rare. Because a right woman who is noble will not rise to the occasion of that man's need. She senses he's an animal and not a human. She senses it. And so there are women who are chaste like that. There are just a few, not many. They sense it. They're waiting for the right man to come along, and if he doesn't, she's happy with a career and, you know, being a nurse or something, doing with children. I'm not so sure that's correct exactly, but you know what I'm trying to say. I'm speaking on behalf of a woman you probably don't know, or maybe you know and it's you. There was a famous actress who had lots of relationships with men, I suppose, but she was being interviewed, I think, by Maury Safer many years ago. I don't know her name. It was like 40 years ago. That's how long I remember it. She said, I would give everything I had if I could have a man say no to me. She was very pretty. Everything she had, if she could find a man to love her enough to say no. Not tonight, Josephine. You cannot have your way. Because you see, it is not her way. The woman's way is not really the real woman. It's sin that made a home in her, and sin that transferred to the man through all the generations, remember? Look, let me give you an example. When a man originally fell from temptation away from grace, he severed a vital link between himself and the inner eternal life source, his true identity. As a result, he died to the spiritual life, and it revived as an animal. In principle, if I tempt you to be a thief, you will die as an honest man and come alive as a thief. Then if I proceed to love you or accept you as you are, that support will nourish you as a thief and make you grow more secure, as though there was nothing wrong with being a thief. And so you will cling to me all the more for love, to love you for being a thief, and you'll become a better thief and give me some of the swag, if I was a woman. And this is what's happened to the human race. Women have the power to seduce a man and reduce him to a wimp or a beast. Bingo. And the more a man gives into the women, the more unreasonable they become, because unreasonableness works. The administration understands when men become women, they become dictators. So they become part men, part women, part devil. Because it always looks like the man, the evil that comes through a woman, the evil that comes, I mean that, that comes through her, gets into him, so it looks like he's always the wrong one. Because it projects, it manifests in him. He goes crazy. He becomes violent. The women don't always get away with it, but it's when that happens, all is lost for the family. Because the men should be the head of the home, and Jesus the head of the man, and God the head of Jesus. I get that. That's the best way I can say it, is being Jewish. But all is lost. And therefore, the government, those who will govern you, want you in this state. They will keep you in this state and multiply that state and multiplies the whores. Excuse me, putting it that way. And put them on welfare. Make sure they have 5 or 6 kids and give them $4,000 or $5,000 a month. And that's it. Free of tax. And make you a slave of producing more of them than there is more of you. Goodbye, government. So you're not talking about that, are you? You're not, you people running for president, you're not talking about it. You dare not talk about it. Because that's the essence of it, and men don't want to face it, and women don't want to face it. But government knows it. The powers that be get powerful because they understand that. The dope pushers. Yeah, just the dope pushers by themselves. Never mind all the others. They understand this dynamic. And they have power. Even if they're not government, they have power. They're demoralizing you, setting the stage for tyranny. Because you will only answer to tyranny if you become so addicted to its services.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883 between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. West Coast time.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Now, Samantha identifies with what I'm saying. She's calling from Texas, and I held over to this hour. And did you hear what I just said, Samantha? I just summarized everything I said in the 45 minutes, before this program, the hour before this program. Are you there?
Yes, I did. Absolutely heard it. And,
so now here's the key. Rather than go off to talking about your woes, which is the same as everybody else's woes, what you need to do is recognize your part of the riddle. Take back your part. That what you really need is a man that loves the hell out of you. Because not the hell in you, which is kind of attractive to the hell in you because it means power. And that power is really a power over you from the inside. When the man has you, it's actually you that has the man. You're the bait, he's the fish. He gets hooked. When he gets hooked, he gives you the power. He gives you the power to complete a sense of worth that's worthless. See, in other words, the love that a woman gives, the raw love, the ones when she comes out of the womb of her mother, she is a duplicate of her mother. She has the nature of her mother, and that nature feeds on the weakness of men, and it bristles with power. When men look at her, and she cannot help but give herself to the man who give her most of himself. Follow that?
I'm confused by that because I felt like I had the power, and I felt like he was being I guess I just kind of answered my question. You know, somebody honorable wouldn't cheat.
Your boyfriend is not honorable.
I felt like I was in power, and he wouldn't cheat because he loved me and.
But that's illusion. That's illusion.
And I started to see that, he's lying to me, and I was heartbroken by the illusion that I wasn't good enough for him, like, not to lie to me and probably cheat on me.
But that's all your imaginations and machinations. To hold it for a second, that's the story of everybody. And I want to just carry on just to make sure that you understand how you can be freed from him. You need to. A woman can find grace without a man. Let's say there are no more men left in the world that could love you in the way you need to be loved. Let's assume that.
I've had grace, and I know there's been times where I've really have felt the power inside of me that was something bigger, and my mom has always sucked that away from me. And
yes, of course.
There's been times where I've really felt like. I've been in hell, and I was suicidal for a while, and I joined the Air Force to get away from her, and then I was fine for a while, like getting out on my own again, and she came to see me in the Air Force, and from that point on, I don't know what happened, But I was by myself for like about 4 months, and then she came to visit me in California where I was stationed, and
she reconnected. She reconnected. Yeah. She reinforced her her power over you.
She did. And yes. Things just kind of went black, and I just started getting into all these really bad relationships, like one after another, after she came to visit me.
You escaped into a man, is what you did.
I did, yeah.
See, you escaped into them. But you became her.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that now.
Yes. And then you hate her for making you like her, but your relationships with men feed that mother's nature in you so that you are becoming more like her whether you like it or not.
Yes.
And making the same mistakes whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and she always used to talk about like all this anxiety in the middle of her stomach, and she never knew if it was like an ulcer or... She had all these New Age beliefs, and she thought like maybe it was, you know, a myth.
Like you. But you had these ideas about love too, didn't you? You had these strange ideas. These ideas excuse. They were an excuse for the sense of anxiety you have.
Yeah, I definitely felt like that anxiety that she had starting to really take grip inside of me. And
well, let's stop here a second. Let's stop playing little game here. Let me see if I can help you to understand this. You are meditating now, and you're getting a grip on yourself, beginning to. Here's the two things you need to.
Sure.
Here are the two things. There's not many things, but this one thing becomes two things. Let me see if I can just describe them both. You must stop looking for love from men.
Okay.
In other words, you must not, because if you have anxiety, and you need have a, and you don't understand the nature of this anxiety because it's an emptiness of your mother sucked your innocence away. You don't understand that. You were born from that. You got away from your mother, and you became like your mother in dealing with boys by getting into them and them getting into you, and you find yourself in the same hole, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you resented your mother. You've got to learn, first thing to do is to forgive your mother and your father, because you probably never knew him. See, I
knew him until I was 10. Yeah.
But did you know him?
Yeah, I knew him until I was 10. I was actually born in South Africa and in Johannesburg.
But where is your husband? Where's your father now?
Well, when we moved here to the States, I was 12, and he stayed behind. And then he passed away in 07, and I went back in 07 to go to...
Yeah, but you have no father,
Memorial
really.
7.
You have not got the guidance
of... I actually had several...
fathers.
Stepdads.
Yeah. Not healthy.
Their own thing. Yeah.
And all had the same relationship with your mother, who they made a whore out of her.
Yeah,
they
actually all ended up passing away.
Yeah, that's right.
Weird.
Yes.
My my sister's boyfriend calls her the Black Widow.
yeah.
Dry. I don't know.
But listen, listen, you have a heritage that is not good.
I know.
I hear in you some beauty. I hear in you innocence and beauty. I do. And I'm not just saying that. So I want you to, when you meditate, just bear this in mind a little bit. It needs to come to you by yourself, not because Roy said. But I need to mention it anyway. I need to mention, I'm a Jewish man, but I understand the power of Jesus Christ's saving grace. I do. And I understood I'm looking for something I can read to you. Let me just read something to you. Do you mind if I read to you a little bit?
No, I would like it. Please go ahead.
Well, you see, I want to try to say something to you, and I may not be able to find the words. What I'm trying to say to you is that you come through generations of broken parents, grandparents, great-great-grandparents, all the way to Paradise Lost. It is something that comes down through the generations through women. Mm. And then men are born of women. But originally, man, woman was born of man. In the manner of speaking, she, according to the book, and I actually believe this, that I know that, for example, scientists can clone you. He can duplicate you, make you somebody in your image. So if human beings can clone another human being or an animal, so why not him who made Adam clone Eve out of his one part of his body, right? His rib. So in a sense, women are born of men. And when paradise was lost, to cut a long story short, the relationship of Adam's relationship, the pure relationship, the ability to protect her, to love her, to keep her from the wild beasts and the spirits, whatever they are, because he was little, he could not know a whole lot about that then. He was pretty much naive. But the nature, the potential nature of a man is the civilization, the ultimate civilization is heavenly. And but then I have to explain what temptation is all about. I mean, because if God had made a million Adams and Eves, it all failed. So the divine plan is to use the failing of men to women, so that the loyalty of a man, having been displaced by the loyalty to the woman, and to the woman to the serpent, to the spirit of paradise lost, which is what is affecting our government right now. All the governments have ever been, all the evil, comes from upside down relationship between men and women. So the women getting the dark side of other people, human beings who understand how to manipulate other human beings who are dark and love power, they approach the women. They abuse the women. They break up families, etc., etc., etc. They encourage perversion. See, and all kinds of things. And so that separate men and make men totally, thoroughly dependent upon women. And the spirit of the woman pervades the whole human race. And so,
kind of sad when you look at it.
It's pretty sad, but it also has a good side to it. Is it because in a manner of speaking, how can I say this? Let me find a place here where, because I wasn't prepared for this. Let me read from the very beginning here. When a man originally fell from temptation, I'm reading a pamphlet that I made, I wrote in 1971, and I'm redoing it just a little bit, but I think it's beautiful by itself. I'll just start in the middle of the sentence, so you follow this. So because it's concise, it's better than me trying to hem and haw and try to, it's all the order, the words are there in perfect order. When man originally fell to temptation and away from grace, he severed a vital link between himself and the eternal life source, his true identity. As a result, he, in a sense, died to the spiritual life and revived as an animal in relationship with the female and what's behind the female. In principle, if I tempt you to be a thief, I'm a tempter, but I'm not an ordinary human being. If I tempt you to do that, I'm not real human being. I'm an animal. But I'm an animal with a dark spirit. So if I tempt you to be a thief, you will die to me and as an honest man and then come alive as a thief. Then if I, the seducer or seductress, proceed to love you or accept you as you are, that support will nourish you as a thief and make you grow and feel secure as though nothing wrong with being a thief. And so you will cling all the more to me, and I will have more and more control, and you will do more and more swag and stealing and bring me the swag and give me a big portion of it so I can just love you as you are and excuse your existence. This is what's happened to us from the very beginning. It's why we enjoy the warm.
I definitely see that everywhere.
Yeah, you see it. And this is what happened to us at the beginning, and why we enjoy the warm glow and security provided by sensual experiences that also happen to be the reason for our fall, a greater falling, the completion of the falling and failing of the human race. It is also why we have fellowship with temptation and love of all that is not good for us everywhere. The next order of life down from the spiritual existence is animal. It was to this order that man first fell, and is from the order his progeny arose. In a sense, Adam was killed by temptation. He did not fall from the sky. He simply changed, lost his identity, and died to the spiritual way of life. this change became the affliction of all the generations to follow. That's you. Through one man's sin came death and spread throughout the human race. And through another, the human race is redeemed. So you see, it could be said that you never sinned, but that you were simply infected by a spiritual disease when you were born, from which you can be saved if you truly believe that you were saved before you were born. Simply stated, that if you are being saved, you are being saved from another man's choice. Think of the merciful brilliance of this concept for a moment. You are being saved from a choice. So now the choice is an inclination. It isn't, you're not choosing to be a good. You're being saved from one man's choice. And the pain and suffering of our life makes us cry for this, because we, at some point, everything's getting worse and worse and worse. And if it's in you, you know there's something wrong. But you don't know where right is, and you inwardly you cry. It's a silent cry, and hears you. See, and you hear a man like me explaining it to you. So, do you see what I'm saying here? So that you can you have an advocate inside you, within you, a spiritual advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Christians call it. You have this advocate, and if you can sit quietly and recognize that of yourself you cannot save yourself, and your mother can't save you, and men can't save you, nobody can save you, nobody wants to save you or want to use you, and the good people who try to save you don't have the right words for it. You see, may see goodness in them, but they don't have a way to communicate what they've got. But I've been blessed to express it in a way that you can understand it and sort of bear witness to it. See, so what I'm trying to say to you is, if you could please use the meditation as a way of separating from your thoughts and feelings, from your feeling self, because your feeling self will control you so long as you're down there in the basement of your emotionally induced thoughts. So if you can, the meditation is designed to separate you from that. Sorry. Pardon?
Honestly, sometimes in meditating, I've been doing it 3 times a day. I stopped about 2 days ago. It started getting really intense. But
what do you mean getting
my
intense?
My feeling. I had this feeling just to need to stop for a little while, and
okay.
Like today, I just had these intense feelings of anger. I was at school and
what? What did you do about it?
I felt the awareness kick in, yes, automatically by itself.
Yes.
And it was just like you say, I've heard you talk about the two pressures.
Yes.
And it was so amazing. Like I felt like that horrible, it was almost like a creature, like in my gut, like with his tentacles, like,
yes,
be mad at him, text him, like, tell me all the stuff, like you've said. And the automatic meditation kicked in, and it was like, just be calm and center and just watch it. And like, I could totally watch it and see it for what it was. And
yes.
Yeah, it was like a war inside of me, like, you know, calm between the hell and like giving into that. And it was actually
stop there for a second. In other words, your calmness had something to do with you not struggling with what was there, and seeing what was there and not struggling to fight it, but somehow intuitively knowing that the Father within you cannot work if you allow yourself to become entangled. But you have to have the faith that being still allows you, God, to act through you. If you are tempted to be angry at yourself, at the thing inside you, that's what the thing inside wants you to do. So it consumes you to the degree that you struggle with yourself. That's why I teach you to be still and watch. And just watch, and then the light comes through you, and lo and behold, it resolves the anger.
Yeah, I'm definitely like it. I didn't understand that when I first started meditating, and it's just starting to happen automatically now.
It does.
Calm and still, and I just see it happening, and it's so real, and it's
You're robbing the beast of its feast.
Yeah, I'm not angry at that. Angry at being angry anymore.
That is right on the money. That is important.
It's like,
now,
like my inner, it's like my inner environment I'm trying to feel.
Well, they're just putting, hold it right there. Hold it right there.
It's pretty amazing.
I know it's amazing, but hold it a second. Forgive me if I interrupt you just a little bit. Because
go right ahead.
I want you to understand that what is amazing is that the invisible something is doing that while you're doing nothing. Something invisible is saving you and dealing with that thing inside you. And that thing inside you is losing ground because it only grows inside you with greater hunger for your soul if you give into it, if you struggle with it. Eventually you'll give into it and you'll have more trouble. So what I'm trying to tell you is that is saving grace. Whatever is that silent thing that's becoming automatic when you become aware of it, the awareness of it is like light unto your spiritual feet. The thing inside you cannot stand that light. It has to retreat. It has to shrivel up. You know, like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz when she threw the water over the witch when she caught the witch on fire. Oh, my beautiful weakness. And she just, wickedness, and she died. She fizzled away, didn't she? Yeah. That's what the thing will happen to the thing inside you.
But honestly, it hasn't been an easy path to get to this point. I was telling you 2.5 years ago, I guess it was almost like, you know, what was that angel show? Messages with an Angel? Or
oh, yeah. I used to like that.
Yeah, it was almost like the lady that I talked to. I went to go see a counselor to the Veterans Affairs, and she kind of led me and showed me the way out of, you know, out of my misery, and I just took her words faithfully, and I moved here. I got away from it, and that was when I really started. This is before I knew you. I came across your stuff, and I would feel like the pull to want to call Chad and want to call my mom, and I'd feel like that horrible anger, and I'd just not give into it. Like, I would just cry up in a ball and just roll up in a ball and cry. And then I got out of my apartment, and I didn't want to go back to my mom. I didn't know where to go. And like, I lived in my car for 3 days, and I was like this anguish. It was such a horrible, horrible feeling. I didn't give into it. I stayed, and I came.
Okay.
To my
sister. I get that. I get that. So you're repeating.
And eventually, I found you, and like now, it's just helping me. Like that was kind of getting over the hump of not giving into it, and then I found
well, now listen. There's a point of where you become less dependent on me, more dependent on the spirit that is within you that's doing this magic.
Yeah.
And anger is your enemy. It's the anger, something inside you that is angry that wants you to experience the anger. The hell inside you is what's angry at God.
Yeah, it was almost like an anguish feeling, like anger mixed in with a lot of anguish.
Yeah, but they're both, anger and anguish, they breed each other.
Yeah.
See? So I'm going to leave you now.
Yeah.
And you're going to call. I spent a lot of time with you. And I do hope that you'll call me again. And
I will. I
will you please? And
I'll keep on listening. Thank you so much.
I want to say this before you go. Remember, the spirit inside you is what you had when you were born, before you got torn away from it by your mom and your faithless fathers. Okay. So with the father within you, we'll restore all that. Just believe it. Forgive your parents, for they know not what they did. Be right back.
For more information about Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding, call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday Pacific Coast Time, and visit www.fhu.com. Or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528.
If you hold the line for a little bit, I will try to speak to you about more about this being born into sin. Because I've got to make a commercial here. I tend to want to philosophize all the way through the breaks. So I've got 4 minutes, and I've eaten up a minute of it already. I would beg you to go to my website. And it costs you nothing to try this little meditation. Listen to it first to see if there's anything wrong with it. What you will hear at first is, you know, be aware of your hand tingling. You know, be aware of your middle of your forehead. And just be aware of your hand tingling. And I go on like that for 10 minutes. And then I start to talk to you. And I don't want you to try to remember anything I'm saying. Just listen while your hands are tingling. Can you make your hands tingle, for instance, your first finger tingle right now? That's all I'm asking you to do. If you close your eyes, can you look at the middle of your forehead and see a little light, little speckles moving across the forehead? That's not energy, carnal energy, or electric things moving past your mind. I'm trying to find the word that means that it's sort of a battery kind of electricity. It's simply light coming through your consciousness. And if you would just go to the website. I've only got 1 minute left to try to explain what 1 minute cannot explain. But go there and give it, listen to it first to see if there's any harm in it. Then sit quietly and do the exercise. See, calisthenics, you can read about calisthenics, and you can listen to bend, stretch, you know, arms out, arms in, you know, bend, stretch, but at the point then, you don't get any stronger. So you can listen to what I'm saying. And when you see there's no harm to it, then you can sit quietly and do the exercise. Follow it. Follow the exercise where I said be aware of your forehead, and then be aware of your fingers tingling. And that's all I'm going to tell you right now. That's all there is to it, because there's a rush of energy from within that cleanses the energy, the emotional energy, from the outside. And I want to tell you more about that after the break. But go to my website, fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding, and see if you get better. Now, once you start to get better, practice it on your own. You can go to the website several times until you understand the principle of it. Then you can do it for a few minutes a day, several times a day. Just sit quietly and don't pray. The Father knoweth what you need before you ask. You don't pray. Just be still, and the light catches up with you. Be still in a way that separates you from your thinking self, your animal thinking self, your animal feeling thinking self. Your feeling thinking stinking self, if you mind me putting it that way. And so, once you become separate from that, God attends your needs. Get it? Then, there's no more to it than that. There's no need to buy a whole lot of stuff unless you want to. There's no need to listen to me again, except I can exhort you a little further, help you to understand it a little better, and bear witness to the fact that you're doing well. See, that's all. I can be the dad you never had. All right, be right back.
Listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is Advice Line program number K6778. That's K6778. To order a copy of this program or to order additional materials, please call 1-800-877-3227 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
So let me just continue some thoughts here. I'm reading from a pamphlet I wrote in 1971. I published it in 1971. Everybody got copies of it. We sent pamphlets around, rather, 16-page pamphlets, rather than the newsletter. I think I'll put this in the newsletter anyway. So I'm saying that original sin transformed man from being a spiritual being into an animal, controlled by the spirit of paradise lost through the women, and it's been that way ever since. It's not women's fault. The fault is men. But the influence is through women, and men have to overcome that influence, but they don't. The influence overcomes them, and they get seduced. It's almost like women are pushers, and men are dopes, hungry for love. And the more they get, the more they want. And it doesn't do either one of them any good. So, in a sense, the Bible says, so men, the story of Paradise Lost was superseded by the command that you should not eat of the fruit, lest you should die. And Eve said, I didn't die. See, look, I ate the fruit. And he ate it too. And he changed. And he actually didn't die, but remember, he had a possibility of eternal life. He chose ego. He chose rebellion. He didn't understand all that, but if God made a billion Adams, they would never understand it. So, and the divine purpose knew that to make a man in his image and to put him in the face of temptation, which was necessary for his concept, his brilliance, divine brilliance to succeed, and to create love. You see, because you can't create love, like you can create an animal. And animals are compulsive. They have no free will. If you want to create love, you have to have free will. And when you create the first being to love you, you have to have temptation. And you will always, that temptation is also stronger than the innocent person you've just created. So let it be so. Through one man's sin and death through sin spread through all human race. And so therefore, it is also said that because of this cause that a man shall leave his mother and father and become bonded or joined to the woman and become one flesh. That's what happens. There is one flesh, but the problem goes on because there's no peace between men and women. You find very little peace except the very best, the Mexican standoff, which is not any good. Nobody says anything truthful to each other. They just exist. So hell breaks. There's hardly a marriage that's real. But there are exceptions, and the people who find it, but they can't explain it to anybody how to find what they found. So here I am explaining what they found and what I have found. And I'm explaining to you what the church has not been able to explain to you. So now, through one man, sin and death through sin spread through the whole human race. And it was planned. See, the thing is, when you come into the world, you come into the world with a potential of innocence. But that's soon destroyed by just being born into the sinful world that precedes you. And it alters you. It poisons you to the very act of being born into the world. You're born to the insecure, imperfect people. Now, you're born into the lives of imperfect people, your mother and father, and teachers and rabbis and priests, anyone, the school system, the world itself. You cannot help but be an innocent person and be infected. So in a sense, you have never sinned. You've been infected. And you will begin to change downwardly. At first you start to grow, but then you see the world for what it is, and you haven't got the power to deal with it because you've been infected with it. Once you've been infected with it, you're powerless. You can still see it, but the trouble is you resent the cruelty of it because you have a sense of justice. And then you start to resent injustice, and that's what injustice wants you to do, to resent it. That's how it gets you even more. The more angry you get, the more pain you have. And the more pain is represented by conscience, but you think you don't realize this, but you actually think your conscience is your enemy. And therefore you look for drugs and alcohol and all kinds of pacifiers. So, actual death, through a series of changes, in other words, the first death is the spiritual death, the second death is the physical death, and you know, either to heaven or hell, where otherwise there's a point where you can cry out and be saved from all this, and this is part of the magic of being born in sin and born into suffering. So you either become the one who causes the suffering, or the one that does the suffering, and more often than not, the one that are suffering are the ones that remain slave of the of the system, or the pain of that makes them seek an answer. And it's this seeking, this inner crying for whatever it is, something, a spirit of that you've never known, something that you know, something there's that you should know, but you know that somehow you've missed something. And there's something there, you don't know what it is. You don't know how to cry for it, but you are. There's a proclivity towards that. And so those who have that proclivity can hear these words. They heard the words of Jesus. They were all suffering and born under that system of thing, good people, but still under the yoke of hell. And he comes along and his very presence is perfection. It's like the perfection we ought to have with our children, with our wives, gentlemen. And this perfection shines on them and forgives them. It's the words and who speaks those words. Because God in the very beginning knew that grief and suffering would make you cry for salvation. But you realize what salvation is. It is being saved from the original choice. In other words, you have never made a choice to sin. Sin has made a home in you. That's what Paul said when he opened his eyes and when he fell, he became blind on the way to Damascus, and when he got there and his eyesight was restored, he realized certain things. And I think the most poignant part of the Bible is what he says about his state being a Pharisee. A very religious person, very educated. But never mind, you're still not a good person. He said to himself, the good things I wanted to do, I could not. The bad things I didn't want to do, I did. So he says, therefore I assume that it was not me that did those things, but sin that made a home in me. Now I'm saying this about you so that you should not be upset with yourself or others, because people can't help their wickedness. A wicked is wicked, and they love their wickedness and also can't help it, but they like it. They like tormenting other people. It's power. But then the tormented, the one over which they have power, are subject to it and are tormented by it, but they often replicate the nature of the tormentor, so that when you get married, you inherit the baggage of your wife, and the wife gets hold of, marries the baggage of you, and it manifests as the same mistakes with the same problem of husband and wife. The women give men love when they should be loving the hell out of them. The men give, the only love they give to women is sex, and that it's only because of the pleasure of the passion. The pleasure of the passion gives them a high, gives them a feeling of worthlessness. It's utterly, completely worthless. But they're more. But when they once they partake of that, the dark side in them grows. It starts to take shape. And it hungers for more fake love. And it cries to the woman, and becomes abusive for it if she withdraws, or out of guilt and anger and frustration and the need for love, and thinking always the guilty, the innocent, basically relatively innocent, feel that their guilt is, even though it comes from hatred, that's where the guilt comes from. They think that guilt turns into the idea that if she didn't love enough, the reason for the problem, him becoming an animal, is that her love did not succeed. So she rises to the occasion to love that man more, and he gives him more, gives more power to her beast, and it degrades her even more, and it's a vicious cycle. She cannot stop giving herself. That's the battered woman syndrome. She will even sacrifice her own children. Now, here I'm going again. Actual death does not occur right away. We're born mortal, but with an immortal potential. That immortal potential is obscured by emotionality. because we tend, as all mortals living in sin, that we think our conscience is the enemy, and the enemy that has corrupted us and violates us and continues to violate us is our friend as it rises to give us pleasure and take away the pain of conscience to opiates and fake love and music and entertainment and distractions and excitements. So, actual death, the death of the man, Adam, through a series of changes, downward transcending changes, leads inexorably to the death of the animal nature. And that, as Adam was, of course, concerned, was delayed by various changes of decay, attended by disease and tragedy, and phasing into old age and death. During this time, Adam was unable to observe the length and breadth and depth of his transgression and the terrible power temptation held over him. Thus he could come to regret his pride, faithlessness, and disobedience. And through repentance, he beseeched the Almighty God for his mercy and saving grace, which God has provided to us to this day through Jesus Christ. In other words, being born in sin is meaning you're born into a sinful world. But you could not help being contaminated also almost from birth. To say again, and to make the point as to why salvation works, you took on the identity passed on through the generations and that also those mingled with culture. And to say it simply is that your will is not your own, so that you've never been your own. It's never been you that sinned, but sin that made a home in you, acting through you as you. So it would, what it felt, you felt as if it was your feelings. And whatever it wanted, you felt like it was you wanting it, therefore you gave into it, it must be all right. And whatever you thought it was your thoughts, and you obeyed it. Because you thought you can't resist those thoughts, because God wants you to do that, or you couldn't understand it, but you thought it was the right thing. It had to be, because the more you resisted it, the hungrier you got. So it must be natural. Your logic is flawed. So you see that? So you see you are being saved from original sin that set the human destiny on fire. Adam was given a chance for eternal life, but through God's mercy, you have been saved from the inherent human strife. Believe this and live. Ah, yes. Now, how many of you now will get a copy of my book, How Your Mind Will Make You Well? This is the first book I wrote. This is a book I wrote in 1959. It was the first one, you know, on the subject of mind and matter and salvation. It has the CD. It has the wording of the CD, Be Still and Know. If you go to my website, you could buy a copy of How Your Mind Will Make You Well. You can regenerate. I've proven it. Doctors know that you can regenerate. But most people, they don't say anything because most older people, I don't have the disciplines. They're too warped by their life and too dependent upon reassurances and love, and they're too bitter. And you can't give them psychiatric treatment. It's too late. So they just let them die. But if you're still alive, and mean it, you're still alive inside, you can hear what I'm saying. If you're 70, 60, 70, 80, you can regenerate your heart. You can regenerate kidneys. You can regenerate almost every part of your being. Can't give you a new leg or anything like that, but Jesus could, I suppose. Your eyesight could come back. Or you can prevent many of these illnesses, which is even better than regeneration. Regeneration is more faith-producing, meaning, wow, I have more faith now, I've been regenerated in so many ways. I can't believe that, without any effort, but just having a calm and steady mind and not, you know, ruminating angrily or being frustrated by all the things and all the ills that befell me, I just got better. And the things I didn't get better of naturally, effortlessly, I got to see how I could help myself. And I found ways of helping myself. I was able to see those ways that no one else has seen, just like I wrote my books on all of this, and my books on science. I've seen things that other people haven't seen before. And I know they haven't seen it the way I've written my book, for example, Gravity Driven Universe. There's no one who's written it quite like that. So you will be able to see all the things you need to do. I need to write about a book about those things, but you will intuitively know all the things that will help you get better, where you would otherwise choose all the things that will make you worse. That's the magic of this.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is Advice Line program number K6778. That's K6778. To order a copy of this program or to order additional materials, please call 1-800-877-3227 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Well, the last sentence I had given you before the break was this. Adam was given a choice for eternal life and failed. And through God's mercy, you've been saved from an inherent eternal strife. Salvation. Believe it and live. The fall of man was intended to fulfill a divine plan, suffering. If I was the devil, I'd take suffering away, and you wouldn't cry for God, would you? But it doesn't matter whether suffering rises, is people rise to alleviate your suffering, whether it's from medicine or from illegal means, drugs, illegal drugs or illegal drugs, to put it simply. And many ways of reducing the suffering, many strange ways of reducing suffering, all kinds of strange excitements and exotic passions. It makes you forgetful of the pain of your conscience. But to the degree every time you are pleasured that way, you are rejecting the salvation of it. See, your conscience is not your enemy. What saves you is your enemy. What rises to the occasion of your need and makes you feel good or God about yourself. So the fall of man was intended to fulfill a divine plan, suffering. God knew that he could make millions of Adams and Eves and they'd all make the same mistake and perish. So that is why we're born into suffering and into thinking that we're living our own lives, and sooner or later we'll feel the friction of that we could, if we will, this is our kind of choice, seek the truth that will set us free. See, in other words, we'll feel the friction, feel it. And that friction becomes greater with every attempt to alleviate the pain. And the more you tend to alleviate with alcohol, drugs, passions, or anything, the greater the conflict between you and the divine being is. And this is a good thing. This is most of the suffering, the conflict you feel between what you've become and what you could become. So our choice, then, is from suffering and sin, is a much more merciful choice. Don't you agree? Let me say that again. Our choice is from suffering and sin, and is a much more merciful choice, meaning once you have been saved from it, once you realize that you need to be saved and nobody can save you and nothing can, everything makes you worse, everything and everybody. Even well-meaning people. It will not satisfy this divine plan until you inwardly reach for it and understand the mercy of it, that you've been forgiven before you were born. That's the message you need to hear. Because God knew that. He knew that the way you make a choice is to be the salvation from it, from the original choice. That is the better, that is more merciful. Because if you were Adam, a million Adams of Eve all perish and there's no future or anything for you. So your future comes through being born in sin and suffering. And the suffering, if you will, lead you to conflict. Evil does something good. it works together for good. There's no claim to courage without danger. Do I agree? Survival of the fittest. Danger, being eaten. In a sense, as far as the animal kingdom is concerned, the weak get eaten, the strong get better. But what's going on in the world is that because we lack understanding, we are being eaten, and the predator is evil in people. And you see the suffering of the world. Thousands of years, very few democracies, republics, if any, very few people ever lived in freedom, all in misery and suffering. We have this immense potential. We all have an immense potential. We're kept down by each other. We do unto others as we would, or as was done unto us. When the law should, if you understand it, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But you can't do that until you're saved from doing unto others what was done to you. You're part of a slave system, system of slaves, doing to others, programming each other for socialism or fascism. Dictatorship, in other words. Any kind of dictatorship is always the same thing, whatever name it is. If it's an orange group or a yellow group, give it any name you want. Same thing. Different names. So if you want to save your country, you need to understand Christianity, the fulfillment of Judaism. That you don't need verses and chapters. You need to sit still and find grace. Be still and know that I am God. I didn't say I was. That's what the good book says. Be still. And then you will shine a light to the whole world. If you could all be still, you gentlemen especially, see how foolish you are with the women. And you women, see how you've been misguided. What more can I say? The music's taking me out. FHU.com. FHU.com. Go there and listen to Be Still and Know for free as many times as you want.
For more information about Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding, call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday Pacific Coast time, and visit www.fhu.com or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528.
Hi, this is David Masters. I'd like to share with you a personal story about growth. Many years ago, I wanted to learn how to work in the field of graphic design. Now, I didn't go to school, so I started on my own trying to figure it out. And then there was a very nice young woman who came to work for us, and she had gone to art school. So when I would show her the work I was doing sometimes and get her critique, she really laid it out. She was really hard on me. But I chose to take it as a learning moment each time there was a criticism. And so rather than be defensive toward what she was saying to me, I learned to get better as a result of that criticism. And it wasn't bad criticism. It was helpful criticism. That's what my dad, Roy Masters, does for people. He gives you the feedback that oftentimes nobody else will. And so when you listen to this program, it's important to look for learning moments, those little pearls of great wisdom. That's what I listen for in the show myself, and I listen to the show every night. And there's always something new and something interesting that comes to the surface when you listen to learn. One of the most important things you can do to learn is to become centered. And that's what my dad has been teaching for well over 50 years, concentration exercise that's now called the coping strategies. Why don't you go to FHU.com, listen to the coping strategies. Before you buy it, you'll see that your whole perspective on life will change after one listen. That's FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours, Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Again, the phone number, 1-800-877-3227, and the website is www.fhu.com. When you listen to this program, it's important to look for learning moments, those little pearls of great wisdom. And now let's return to Advice Line with Roy Masters.